January began with the governor following a decades-long tradition, giving a State of the State speech to a packed house of hundreds of guests this year in the Capitol's Convention Center.
Well, Happy New Year to all of you.
Things weren't perfect. The state was already facing a budget deficit. There had been a vicious hate crime stabbing at a rabbi's house, and extreme weather had left extensive flood damage along Lake Ontario.
It is going to be a challenging year.
But he, like everyone else, had no idea what was in store. No one was even talking about the coronavirus. By early March, all of that had changed.
Good morning.
Cuomo began what would be the first of 111 continuous days of briefings on the COVID-19 pandemic as New York became the worldwide epicenter of the coronavirus. By March 20th, all non-essential businesses in New York were closed. Schools followed shortly afterward. In April, the death toll reached nearly 800 per day.
The bad news isn't just bad. The bad news is actually terrible.
The governor's signature slide presentations crammed with facts and figures and his admonishments to the public to wear masks and behave safely filled a vacuum created by floundering federal leadership. The briefings were watched by millions of lockdown Americans hungry for a daily routine in what for many had become a suddenly unmoored life. The governor's popularity soared. The term Cuomo-sexual was coined, and the normally private governor opened up about his feelings and his family, including his relationship with his three daughters and their boyfriends.
Advice to fathers. The answer on what you think of the boyfriend is always, I like the boyfriend. Always.
As COVID cases subsided over the summer, Cuomo stopped doing daily briefings. But the virus rate began spiking again in the late fall, and Cuomo resumed them three times a week, this time on Zoom, to reduce density in the briefing room.
Your line is now open. Please unmute your microphone.
The state legislature took a back seat to the governor in 2020, granting him sweeping special emergency powers to make decisions during the pandemic.
Are there any other senators wishing to be heard?
But lawmakers did hold a few, mostly virtual sessions, including one in June. They approved criminal justice measures in response to the killing of George Floyd by police in Minneapolis, a death that sparked nationwide protests. The legislature outlawed police chokeholds, required state police to wear body cameras, and repealed a legal provision that had been used to shield police disciplinary records from the public. Senate Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, the first woman and first African-American woman to lead the chamber, like Cuomo, also shared some personal stories. Speaking on the Senate floor, she talked about how racism has affected every aspect of her life. Her son Stephen was stopped and frisked at age 19 when he visited a white area of town. He ended up in the hospital, accused of resisting arrest.
I met Stephen in the emergency room with a fractured nose. Anybody knew that Stephen would never have resisted.
Stewart-Cousins, delivering her end-of-the-year remarks in a special session designed to strengthen tenant protections, summed up the uncertainty that everyone is feeling about the future, saying no one expected the disruptions in 2020 when everything changed.
I can only say that we will have yet another change. There will be a new year. I don't say that it can't be worse because now I don't know.
She says whatever comes next, lawmakers will try to be ready. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.